Hey guys, before we get into the meat of this video, we forgot to record something through our conversation, but it's really important. So the Winter Jamboree is giving away a buggy. You'll want to make sure you skip to the end of this video to check that part out. Jeff's going to tell us about it. We'll get into the trail ride, and I'll have that marked on the timeline. So make sure you go check that part out if you're interested in it. All right, guys, we are out here with Jeff Bieber of Winter 4x4. We're going to run up to Plan B, go run some trails. He's been kind enough to let me jump in his Jeep, and I've been wanting to talk to him for a minute because I feel like Winter 4x4 is one of the original groups out at Sand Hollow. Would you agree with that, or?
I don't know. There was a couple more before the Jamboree. They kind of went away, and then I picked it up and took it over, and I'm coming up on my own doing this.
Really? Wow, there's even... after it quite a ways. What got you into, like, I guess just Jeeps in general, really? Have you always been into them? Have you just kind of done it with your dad?
No, actually, my dad was into Baja Bugs when I lived down in Vegas.
That's okay.
And I've done dirt bikes, Baja Bugs, a lot of different off-road things. I didn't get into Jeeps 2005, bought this same Jeep. I've had it that long.
Okay.
When I bought it, not really familiar with four-wheel drives, or Jeeps were just made to drive on dirt roads.
Yeah.
And then a friend of mine, he goes, hey, why don't you come out and run the West Rim with this? And he introduced me to rock crawling, and I've been broke ever since.
I was going to say, it's all downhill from there, isn't it?
Yeah, it you could definitely spend a lot of money, but you know what? I love doing this. I love living where I live. I love Sand Mountain. It's definitely a place to come to. A lot of people living here, and having this.
Yeah. Can I get you to pull your microphone just a little closer to your mouth, I think? Yep.
Good?
Yep, that sounds real good. So that's actually kind of interesting because of a lot of people I've talked to. The Jeep they have now is the Jeep they started with. So, and that goes for like Julie Heyer. I guess maybe just her. But it's kind of this thing where you just buy it and then little by little, like, you improve on it. So I noticed, you know, this is a YJ, so they originally come with leaf springs. You don't have any leaf springs. You're all ORIs on all four corners now?
ORIs on corners. I'm four dual triangulated, four link in the rear, three link in the front. I decided I got bored with the leaf springs. 8 years ago, 9 years ago. Wanted to be able to do harder trails. I dug deep and spent a lot of money. This Jeep originally came with a four-cylinder.
Uh-huh.
So I took that out. I got the 4.3 Vortec, which is a V6 Chevy motor in here, Chevy truck transmission, four-speed Atlas. When I built it back years ago, this was probably one of your better builds. It's way outdated now. Everything's evolved so much that... So this is what I'm stuck with, and I have a lot of fun with it.
Yeah, well, it's not a bad, like, at all. You can say it's outdated, but I've seen pictures of you in some pretty gnarly stuff. So it can be outdated if it wants, but it's definitely still capable.
I'm not going to say it's not. I spend a lot of time out here, so I get this a lot when nobody's looking.
Yeah.
So when they are looking, I look good.
Yeah, you got to practice when nobody's watching. Nobody's there to, you know, call you out on it. So if you, through your process of building this, did it kind of go through several iterations? Did you kind of push leaf springs to the max, or did you do a couple little mods with leaf springs and then decide, you know what, I'm going full bore, I'm building custom shock mounts, we're just doing it?
Well, I upgraded from the Dana 30 and 35. That's what I started with the four cylinder. I upgraded to a 44 and a 12 volt. Wheeled that for a while with lockers, and I never had, all I had was a locker in the front, a lock right, and I ran on 31 inch tires out here for my first 2 years. And I was doing 7 and 8 rated trails on 31 inch tires with the front locker.
That's pretty good, man.
Well, I attribute a lot of that to my driving capabilities now, because I had to learn how to drive. It wasn't easy on 31 inch tires. You had to really look at your tire placement. And I struggled. I'm not going to lie. I struggle a lot. I learned how to drive doing that way, and yes. I'm thankful for that.
Yeah, that seems to be a pretty common theme in all walks of life. If you can start with the way that's difficult, or maybe not difficult but less desirable, and then transfer those skills up into something more capable, you're just that much more ahead.
And that's pretty much what happened with me, I think. And I've learned a lot wheeling with a lot of my friends, which helps too.
Yeah, even if you don't want to, you know, you take those times to do it wrong when nobody's watching. Sometimes it's nice to have someone there with a winch if you do it wrong.
Yeah, no, I never go out by myself. Anybody that does, I'm going to say that they're doing it wrong.
Okay.
You always go out with backup, but you go out with friends that you trust, that you can learn from. I don't even know where I'm going now. Everything changes.
Eric went up that way.
Yeah,
but we can go this
changes.
Way.
Everything changes.
Yep, the wind comes through, and these sand sections are totally different overnight.
And then nobody knows where they're going, so they just make new routes.
Yep.
And I don't come up here as often as I probably should. Usually when I come up this way, I come up.
Yeah. So you just... Go ahead.
No, go ahead.
I was going to say, you get out here quite a bit. Is a lot of what you're doing, a lot of the people you come out with, I know Eric and Lori, are most of those people involved in one way or another with the 4x4, Winter 4x4?
With the Jamboree, yeah, they are. Eric and Lori have been involved even with the previous events. I've known them probably, I'm going to say, close to 18 years.
Oh, wow. That goes back quite a ways.
It goes back quite a ways. So I've known them for I've met people, you know, from time to time that some are, they hang around and they come wheeling off with us, and they're close friends, and others they just in a while, but they're all good friends, so.
Yeah. Anybody's out here, you know, enjoying and respecting the sport, you know, you got to be, got to love seeing people get out and enjoy it.
Yeah.
So.
And there's one guy too I want to mention. He helps with the Jamboree. Every gonna come out and wheel hardly at all.
That's really
Casey Lofthouse. He's always been involved with the event. Every project that we've done on a mountain. All the restrooms, the parking lot. He's always come out. He's brought his own personal equipment out and helped out. And that's how we get a lot of stuff done out here, is people like him.
Yeah, it takes a group effort, and it takes people willing to make that, you know, like his example, that personal sacrifice to, you know, make something better for the rest of us. But how long have you been doing the Jamboree? Like, how have you been in charge of it?
This is my 11th year coming up in a few weeks.
Okay.
That's when I started. I got the club started. I hired an attorney, got it all registered, legal, and everything.
Yeah.
And started the Desert Roads and Trail Society. And I say 2 months after I got that done legally, we had our first Jamboree.
Oh, that's awesome. Is there what kind of legwork goes into? I've heard you have some conversations with some other people around like the coordinating with the BLM. What kind of stuff goes into putting on the Jamboree every year? I'm sure that there's just stuff that just people take for granted, to show up and don't realize how much work went into actually making it happen.
So, of course, you have to have a BLM permit.
Yeah.
When I got mine, I got a 10-year permit. So every 10 years, I've got to renew that. Approximately a year to get that done. Then we drive on Sitla land. So I've got to coordinate with Sitla, get a permit to them. We drive through the state park, so I've got to have a permit with them. I'm going to say, just to get the Jamboree off the ground each year, we're looking somewhere in the neighborhood of my time for the coordination, I'm probably 80 to 120 hours.
That's not an insignificant amount of time.
Just doing all that kind of stuff. And then you've got your registration, you've got, you know, all the stuff that comes with the event itself. And we have several meetings prior to, just to make sure everything's done. We've got, the Jamboree pretty much runs itself anymore.
Really?
Yeah.
Get the right people in place and they kind of know what they do and
get the right people in place. Having the website do a lot of your work for you.
Yep.
That wasn't cheap.
No.
You know, because you got to pay for programming. There's quite a bit of other stuff. Red Rock Four Wheelers gave us the website when we first got started, because we were non-profit, and they paid $50,000 to build the website.
Holy cow, that's a heck of a commitment, but that's awesome.
Yeah, and we've probably spent $50,000 on it since they've given it to us to use over the past 10 years.
Just in updates and upkeep stuff?
Doing updates to get the website to do what we want it to do.
Yeah.
And that's, the more the website does, the less we have to do.
Yeah. That's 100%. So I'm actually in software, and that's my whole goal.
Okay.
Is anything I can automate, you know, and not have to go manually do myself, that's what I shoot for. As a side note. But what's been your favorite part of the whole Jamboree? Have you had like a favorite year or something to that effect, or is it just every year keeps getting better, you feel like?
Every year keeps getting better. I guess my favorite year was the first year. And the first year, we had 175 vehicles the first year
we
had at the event. And with our trail help, now we're running up close to 1,400 vehicles.
That's insane. I didn't realize it was quite that big. My exposure to it has been sort of ancillary, coming from the side-by-side world. I've kind of been exposed to it through like Curtis at Just for Fun and those types of people. But to have 1,400 vehicles coordinated, and then you got to have a trail guide for multiple trails, and that's really kind of cool that you've been able to actually do it.
We have our volunteer help. We're running right around 200 volunteers to run this event.
And every little bit helps, I'm assuming. It has to. So
yeah, and there's a lot of work that goes into it. We actually hire a Boy Scout troop to come in and set up for our catered dinner, set up all the tables and chairs.
Oh, nice.
Gives them a little bit of money for their troop. And it's definitely a help on us old people.
For sure. Those Boy Scouts, they like doing that kind of stuff, is what I've been told anyway. You know, yeah, like you say, put a little money in their troop fund, you know, help them out. Maybe take a different trip somewhere else or something.
Well, we write them a check for $400, and they show up, and they set up all the tables and chairs, and then they come back after the raffle that night, and then they take them all down. And then while they're there, we buy, I think last year we bought 20 pizzas for the Boy Scouts.
Oh, okay.
To feed them lunch while they were there.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, and there was no leftovers. I've never seen that many pizzas disappear as quick as they did. It was funny.
Yeah, I got a boy that's growing, and I'm just waiting for that, you know, growth spurt where they start to just eat you out of house and home. I'm sure as a scout, I remember being ravenous as well. So, one of the other things I wanted to talk to you about, because you know you have a lot of experience on this mountain. Coming from the side-by-side world myself, what have you kind of seen as we get, you know, more people coming in with UTVs? And don't worry, I'll have you get your transfer case in.
Yeah. It'll go in a minute.
Got to get the teeth aligned. But I guess I would ask, I kind of think everybody kind of knows the bad that comes with side-by-sides and UTVs, or at least is the stigma. I'll hold off. We'll get you then. There you go.
Yeah. Okay. We're good to go now.
Now we can go. Yeah, this is super cool to watch, you know. Just one thing that doesn't translate from side-by-sides to Jeeps is there's a lot more controls, especially rocking a manual like you do. You know, I've been watching you. You're on the stick and on the clutch. Just, you know, it's a lot more involvement. But back to what I was asking is have you seen any good, in your opinion, come from the influx of UTVs? I mean, it's kind of the industry's getting a lot of people coming that way. And it's opening the doors to a lot of new people to come out here. I'm just curious what your thoughts are.
Well, I mean, there's always been a conflict between UTV. The good that I think came from a lot of them is the use of the mountain helped keep the developers away from it. And 11 years ago, we were fighting a developer that was trying to get a bunch of acreage on this mountain, and we won.
Okay.
So, that, you know, and that back then, that was unheard of.
Yeah.
The winds weren't hurt, you know, nobody won.
Yeah, it was the developer comes in and they have all the money, and that's it.
Yeah. So, you know, the amount of people that use the mountain, that helps us keep it, and that's great. The downside to the UTVs, in my opinion, is I don't know when people buy them. I don't know if the dealer's telling them, hey, they'll go anywhere you want, just point and shoot.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
And we have a lot of that mentality out here.
Yeah.
So that bothers me.
Is she going to be good back there?
Yeah, she got hung. But come on. Yeah, she should push through it.
Yeah, it looks like it's got some bite in the rear at least.
Yeah. Yeah. Just go slow.
Yeah, come on. For those of these, you just listening to this, we're on trail with a group of Jeeps, so Jeff's doing his best to help the Jeep behind us get through safe.
Well, I have to. She's my girlfriend. and we live together, so. But it means if I don't.
Yeah, there's some dire consequences. So, I totally understand what you're saying about the side-by-side thing, because I think a big part of that, maybe not conflict, but what we see out here is we do have a lot of dunes, too. We have a lot of, it seems like we have kind of two different groups in the side-by-side community where we have guys that are out here that have, I think, put just as much work, or maybe not just as much, but definitely put a lot of work into, like, the rock side, rock crawling side of things, and, you know, making sure they're doing things right, and have, you know, spent the time to build their vehicles into these insanely capable rock vehicles. But we also have these big dunes, which are just kind of, like you say, people can just show up and point and shoot. And I think that the blending of those two things can cause some, I don't, like you say, it can cause a little bit of a kerfuffle, but my overall opinion, and this is, you know, it's biased, I'm a side-by-side owner, I think the influx of people to be able to stand up against things like, you know, the developers trying to buy land up here is not only good, but it's going to be critical coming forward. And I want to make sure that, you know, as for my community, we're doing things in the way that we can not bug a bunch of other people or piss off a bunch of other communities, and we can all kind of come together as that united front.
I've been trying to get the UTVs and Jeepers together for 11 years here now. Okay. Well, it's I tell you what, that's harder than building a trail.
Is it really?
Oh yeah. I don't know. And it could be, I'm getting up there in years, and my kids are all grown and gone, and a lot of the side-by-side people are younger people. They have families. You don't have the time to get involved. They need to work. They got to have the two incomes. So I get that too. And I have a hard time recruiting people for Desert Roads and Trails Society, the younger people. And that's a lot of where it comes from, is that.
But I think, you know, we're kind of coming up on a stopping point here, and I'll probably jump out with Lori, but I would ask you, because I think from the side-by-side of things, we can definitely, I know what we need to do, right? We need to kind of slow it down, take it easy, be a little more, you know, cautious about how we drive, where we drive, and, you know, police our own. I'm curious if you know of something that's, like, actionable that the Jeep community could do to, whether it's inviting side-by-sides to come with you on trails, like, I know for a fact me or Rob or anyone else here would love to come run these trails with you guys.
Yeah, anybody's welcome to come out when we come. We do a general Facebook post. Hey, we're going to be out there. We don't know what we're running. We wait till people show up and see what we've got for capability, and then we'll pick a trail. And anybody's welcome to anytime.
That's awesome. Well, we'll wrap it up on that, but I want to make sure, you know, what things you want to plug. Obviously, Winter 4x4 Jamboree. Anything else the viewers should go check out to see your stuff or be involved in things you support?
Desert Roads and Trails Society has a Facebook page. They have a group. Get in both of those. We update our projects, like the 5-acre staging area, Watkins Corral. That was Desert Roads and Trails Society did that. The restroom there. The asphalt road coming up to that.
Yep.
That's all money that Desert Roads and Trails Society raised to get that project done. That was $1 million project.
Yeah, it's been awesome. Just having that corral set up, so much
well. And the whole thing was, is I'd been in contact with Hurricane City. They were going to build a third water tank, and it's going to be in between the two. So I knew we were going to lose that half acre eventually. Okay. I'm like, why wait till we lose it? Let's jump the gun and get it done. So that's what started that. And then once it got done, we're like, holy cow, it's full on the holiday weekends. You can't find a place to park there. So it goes back to that. If you build it, they'll come.
Yeah.
Is how we look at it. And it's been really good for, I think, the off-road community to have that. During COVID, didn't get inside the park by 8 o'clock in the morning. They were full. You couldn't.
Really?
Yeah. Then there was no ways to come out here to stage or nothing. So we played right into that and had that. It worked out great. So we're working on some other projects too. Currently, another staging area inside the Green Gate on the other side of the mountain.
Oh, yeah, okay.
South of the reservoir, so we're working on a staging area over there. We're working with BLM for a campground up on the mountain.
Okay.
They're actually currently doing the EA on the land right now. It'll be 50 acres. It'll be pretty substantial.
That'll be substantial.
Campground. It'll be, you'll have to pay to camp there, but it won't be near as expensive as going inside the park.
Okay.
Because we've got to maintain the restrooms, we've got to do, you know, there's fees that come with that campground, stuff like that we have to be paid for. So
yeah, stuff just doesn't appear.
Yeah, it'll be a minimal fee to camp there, and 50 acres. I don't know how many. We haven't done any engineering on it, camp spots, but it'll be substantial.
It'll add to what we got, for sure. But
yeah.
Anyways, man, it's been awesome talking to you. I'm super glad to have met you, and oh, everybody go check out their stuff. And
yeah, and friend us on Facebook. Yeah. And you're welcome to tag along with us anytime you want.
I'll hold you to it.
Okay.
All right, so you guys are giving away a buggy. That's what I hear. Is that right?
We are. It was actually donated to us. The guy bought it. It was built in Colorado. Session Motorsports built it. And the guy here bought it, and then he couldn't use it anymore, so he donated it to us. He likes what we've done on the mountain, all the projects that we do, and spending the money up here doing improvements.
Yeah.
So he asked us, he donated us the buggy and told us, asked us to specifically keep the money here and use it for projects around this area to make the area better. So we've got that. It's a four-seat buggy.
That's pretty unusual for a buggy. Usually a lot of ones you see are two-seater, or, you know, like yours is a two-seater, but four-seater, that's a family wagon.
It's a family wagon. It's long. I've actually brought it out here and wheeled it a little bit. It does extremely well. It's a point-and-shoot rig. It's on 42-inch tires, automatic transmission. Got a V8, got the older 350 in it, fuel injected 350. It does really, really well. We're looking to get as naturally as much as we can out of it. But we've currently got it. You can go on our Facebook page, and you can get the QR code off our Facebook page and the link, to go to the website where we actually have the raffle going.
That's awesome. So that's all they need to do. Go find that QR code, find the link, go just start getting stuff in the raffle.
Put some money in there, and keep in mind, it only takes one ticket to win.
Yeah. Okay, guys, well, you heard it here. Go win a sweet buggy. I'll make sure I gather up those links. I'll put them in the bottom of this video, too. But you should go check out their Facebook page. You know, go friend them on Facebook, whatever you got to do. We'll hopefully win something cool, and see you guys out here on the trail.